Night Ranger coming to the Ridgefield Playhouse on Wednesday, April 25th. On the line with me right now is Jack Blades of Night Ranger. How's it going, Jack?
It's going great, man. We're excited to be hitting your neck of the woods.
I got to ask you questions. First things first, Jack Blades, that's not a stage name. That's your real name?
Yeah, that's my real name. That's it. That's my dad's name, my grandfather. The Blades came over to America, I think, like 20 years after the Pilgrims or something. I've been around for a while.
Because it's such a cool name for a rock star, for somebody that would be on the radio. It is just the coolest name.
I know. Some people have like, come on, what's your real name? What is it like, you know? What is it? Come on, give it to me. It's like, you know, is it something weird? What is it? I'm like, no, dude, that's the name.
That's awesome. Well, I'm jealous. Flat out, I'm jealous.
Don't be. Just come to the show and have a good time.
Now, as iconic as you've become with Night Ranger, I'm sure people don't realize you actually began your career in a funk band, Rubicon.
That's right. Yeah. We were in the first band I joined when I moved to San Francisco back in, gosh, it was 1976, I think I joined the band. Rubicon was formed by the sax player from Sly and the Family Stone. And at that time, I played very much like, you know, very percussive, slap style bass. You know, really like Larry Graham from Sly and the Family Stone and that sort of thing. And so Rubicon was a funk band. Yeah, we had two albums out, and Brad joined the band. Brad was the guitarist, and at the end of the life of Rubicon, Kelly was the touring drummer at the end in 1979. So that was kind of the genesis of what came to be known as Night Ranger.
You guys evolved into Night Ranger, in a sense, from the ashes of Rubicon. But before it was Night Ranger, you guys just used the name Ranger, but you had to add Night to it?
Yeah, it was crazy. We went in, we cut our first album, and we were called Ranger. And we had, actually, there were 10,000 album covers printed up for the Dawn Patrol album that just said Ranger, just like the same logo you see, Night Ranger, but just Ranger underneath, right? And all of a sudden, like a week and a half before, we opened up this Billboard, which is a trade magazine for music industry, and there was a full page ad for these guys, the Rangers, and they'd had the band, and their fathers had the band, their grandfather, you know, the great grandfathers started the band right after the Civil War or something stupid like that, right? so we're like, we're totally screwed. We're screwed. We're going to get sick. You know, it's going to be the worst. And so I'd written a song, Night Ranger. And so we decided, well, look, you know, I called everybody and said, look, we'll just call the band Night. We'll put a Night above the Ranger. It'll be perfect. And everybody's like, oh, it's terrible. No, it'll be fine. I'd hang up the phone going, this is a terrible idea. But, that's what we did. And I don't know what happened to those 10,000 album covers. I think they destroyed them, unfortunately. It would be kind of cool. Be like finding the Beatles, like, you know, cover for Yesterday and Today that you rip off, and there's the meat cleaver cover or whatever.
Oh, yeah, the butcher cover.
The butcher cover, there you go.
You're telling me you, nor Kelly, nor Brad, none of you have one of those? Because that's got to be worth a fortune.
I know, dude, that totally sucks. None of us have one. I know one guy in the Bay Area, in Northern California, in the San Francisco Bay Area, that has it. And I'll tell you what, man, I work on him, but he ain't giving it up. So there you go.
So, Night Ranger, Ridgefield Playhouse, Wednesday, April 25th. Now, you guys are going 35 years strong. This is the continuation of the 35th anniversary tour.
Correct. Yeah. We played a lot of shows last year, and we're doing the same this year. This year's stacking up to be even more shows. And, you know, Night Ranger's a fun band. You come and, you know, we'll play. We decide to play whatever we want since, you know, I mean, there's no, we don't have loops playing and background vocals or anything like that. Everything is like, what you hear coming off the stage is from the five guys that are on the stage. So there's no, like, you know, artificial sweetening added. So what I'm saying is we change the sets. Like, we change the set every night. You know, we'll throw in this song, throw in that song. Let's play a song that we all grew up listening to. Let's play a Damn Yankees song. Let's do this. Let's do that. You know what I mean? From my days with the Damn Yankees. So with Night Ranger, you never know which songs, what's going to happen. And it's really interactive, man. We get the audience involved. You know, it's a blast.
How did Damn Yankees, how did that come about? Because it's the end of the 80s, and did you know Tommy and Ted originally, or did you randomly run into each other?
Well, I had met Tommy once at an American Music Awards, Dick Clark's American Music Awards back in 1984 when Kelly and I gave Prince the award for Purple Rain.
Oh,
but,
wow.
I had met him just in passing, like, he was dating Pam Dauber at the time, you know, Mork and Mindy. And so I was like, you know, I was walking by and be like, it was like, hey, hey. You know what I mean? We kind of knew each other. That was about it. But then when Night Ranger kind of broke up in 1989, I left the band and we just all decided to go different ways and all that kind of stuff. And about 5 days after that happened, I got a call from the guy that runs Geffen Records, and he said that he had Tommy Shaw and Ted Nugent in New York working on some songs, but something was missing, and I might be the, you know, I could be a missing link possibly. And so I said, sure, man, I'll pop. So I kind of landed on Tommy's doorstep in New York City in his brownstone up there on the Upper West Side, and we became fast friends. And I think that weekend we wrote three or four or five, probably half the Damn Yankees' first album that weekend that we all got together.
That's cool. I mean, that was a monster of an album.
Yeah, it was a killer album. Killer stuff, killer music. I mean, Tommy and I wrote the song High Enough like 30 minutes at his place. I was like doing laundry downstairs singing, I don't want to hear about it, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, just humming a melody. And he's like, hey, what's that? Come on up. And about 30 minutes later, we had the whole song written and done, and we're like looking at each other going, is this good or does this suck? Or is this good? I think it's good. Is it good? And so we were afraid to play it for Ted because he'd think we were a couple of pussies because we're, you know, like, it's a ballad, right? You know, and we played it for Ted, and he was like, here's what it means. It was like, you know, with the guitar coming on the chorus, and the rest, shall we say, is history.
And during that time period, you worked with a bunch of artists. You actually wrote with Aerosmith, one of my favorite, like, Aerosmith deep cuts. It's Shut Up and Dance from the Get a Grip album.
Oh, yeah.
How did you end up getting together with those guys?
Well, we were put together by the same gentleman that put that put Damn Yankees together, John Klodner. He was working with, he was the famous A&R guy at Geffen, and he was working with Aerosmith. And he said, why don't you guys go out there and write with Stephen and Joe? And so we went out there and like hung out on the Eastern Shore there in Boston and wrote some songs with the guys and, you know, played in Joe's basement. And we were the Dukes of Duxbury, we called ourselves. So it was very fun. We wrote several songs. I think another one's on their greatest hits called Big Ones. And so it was, you know, it was great. I mean, those guys are great. Steven's great. Joe's great. I mean, they're great guys. And they're creative. The difficulty with them, man, is that they've written so many albums and they've done so many songs. It's like you come up with an album and it's like, nah, we did that on the Rocks record. Oh, I mean, you come up with a song. Nah, we kind of did that on the night of the, you know, not, you know, day of the, you know, it's like, nah, we kind of did that on the, you know, this record, you know, Done With Mirrors. Nah, we kind of did this on the, we're like, well, what haven't you done? So I just grabbed a bass and started slap styling it. And that's Shut Up and Dance. It's bomb, 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 bomb. You know, it's a funky, I pulled out my Rubicon chops, started funking, you know, funking it down the road. And in fact, there's a break when Steven does a rap in there, and that's you know, that's me playing the funk bass on that thing.
Now that I'm hearing it in my head, yeah, it absolutely is a funk song.
Yeah. Killer, dude.
I always enjoyed that song, and they used that in Wayne's World. They performed it in Wayne's World, too.
They did. They did it. They performed it at Wayne's Stock.
When you guys were putting together Sister Christian, is it true you had no idea what Kelly was singing?
That's actually the we thought he was singing Christian when he was really singing. His sister's name is Christy. And he was like, Sister Christy, oh, the. And we were all hearing it as like, Sister Christian. I'm like, that's a great idea, great imagery, great everything. And one day he wrote it down, like on the top, you know, so you better write these lyrics down on a piece of, you know, on a piece of legal pad. And so all of a sudden he wrote Sister Christy. And we're all like, wait a minute, isn't it Christian? He goes, no, it's Christy. I'm like, whoa. And he's like, well, my sister, I said, dude, poetic license. We got to call it Christian. He says, you think so? I said, yeah, let's do it. And so there you go. And we will all be motoring in Bridgefield, Connecticut.
Wednesday night, April 25th, Night Ranger at the Ridgefield Playhouse. Do people bring up Boogie Nights or Rock of Ages more when they talk about Sister Christian?
I think Boogie Nights really affected a lot of people in a lot of different ways, especially us, because when Kelly and I went to see, Kelly and my wife and I went to see that movie, and like when that scene came on, we broke out in sweat beads. Kelly and I looked across, and my wife was in the middle. We looked across each other, and we're like, we've been in that guy's house. That scene was too realistic, dude. I guarantee you, it was too realistic. We're like, we'd been in that house in 1983 in Hollywood, and it was like, whoa, pretty crazy. But yeah, that was a stunning moment, and that was a you know, phenomenal director, and he's gone on to do some great things. I mean,
that entire soundtrack is a great soundtrack. Actually, I think they even released a follow-up because there's so many great songs on it. And that scene and that song stands out among all the others as really a testament.
Yeah, it's classic when the guy starts playing air drums, when the drums come in and all that kind of stuff. I love it, man. It's like, it's just the best. It's just, you know, it's wonderful. I'm sorry Mark Wahlberg is like, I wish that was the only movie I didn't do or something like that. But I think that's, you know, whatever. I think it was a killer thing, and it was a great scene where he like bottomed out and everything like that.
What's really cool about you guys is the majority of the band, the core lineup, is really the same. And that doesn't happen too often anymore, especially Kelly's health last year. But he's back with you guys. It's pretty cool that you're all still working. You're all still friendly with each other.
Well, yeah. Like, we don't hate each other. We actually enjoy it. I mean, we're playing with one very big band who I shall not name, and their manager was in the dressing room with us before we went on, and we were all just joking and laughing and, like, just telling jokes, you know, and just, like, just cracking up and just having a great time and just, like, just doing all this stuff and everything like that and showing each other this and that and everything, like, playing and singing and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And then it's like we had to go on stage, and as I'm walking on stage, he kind of walks out with me and goes, "You guys all actually like each other, don't you?" I'm like, "Yeah, bro." He just shook his head and walked away. We thought that was hilarious.
It's rare. It's rare these days.
Yeah. And we have, with Brad Gillis, great guitarist, Brad Gillis, and with Kelly and Brad and I have been together for so many years. And then we have Eric Levy, the greatest keyboard player. He's been with us for over 7-8 years. And Kerry Kelly, the guitarist. He was with Alice Cooper for 10 years, and he's been with us for, I think, almost 6 now. And so it's a great band. It's a great rock. You know what it is? It's a straight-up American rock and roll band. Case closed.
Night Ranger, Wednesday, April 25th, coming to the Ridgefield Playhouse. Jack, before I let you go, just a quick little funny story. About a month ago, our program director was on vacation in Florida, and all of a sudden he starts texting me and one of our operations guys, and he says, "I'm watching Night Ranger in Epcot Center. They're here." He just randomly came across your concert.
That's wild. Well, you know what? You know what's happened about 5 years ago? Epcot has a. If anybody's ever been to Epcot Center down in Florida, Epcot, right in front of the American Experience, they have a 2,500 seat amphitheater, and they asked us to do it one time, so we decided to do it. And now it's become like a regular thing. People plan their vacations. People come from all over the world to come and see us. I mean, we go there, we bring all our families in. It becomes a 3-day, like, you know, party fest down there. And it's a blast. Yeah, there you go.
That's what I wanted to ask you. Do they let you walk around the park before you got to play?
Well, it's hard to do that because people know who you are and everything like that. But yeah, you can do anything you want.
Jack Blades, Night Ranger, Wednesday, April 25th, coming to the Ridgefield Playhouse. Jack, it's a real pleasure. Thanks for spending a few minutes with me.
My pleasure. We want to see everybody in Ridgefield at the show. It's going to be a rockin' time with Night Ranger. Trust me, man. You're going to have a good time. Thanks, Alan, and we'll see you. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Sounds good.
Which, by the way, is my birthday. Is April 24th, so I'll be there. We'll be celebrating my birthday.
Oh, very nice. A post-birthday party.
There you go. Post-birthday party. See you, bro.